This is where the DJ talks. Don't say anything.
Okay.
Each of these media creates a new environment. It creates a new situation for human association and human perception. Any medium at all creates a new pattern, a new atmosphere, a new environment of human perception, which works upon the whole man. It works upon the whole society. That is the effect of a medium. It has that total pervasive effect. That is the message, that social change that is brought about. The content of the medium is never the message, because the content is all to the old medium.
From the Vast Wilds of the Great White North, for the week of July the 10th, 2017, it's TVA, a Canadian perspective on television from north and south of the 49th parallel. I'm Anthony Marco.
And I'm Greg David.
And we would like you to put your television on mute for episode 231 of TVA, the podcast. Oh, we are in the hot town, summer in the city kind of days, Greg.
Yeah, it is summertime. It's hot. I'm hiding in my basement in the nice, cool air conditioning. And when we get to the calendar, apparently everybody else is too tired from the heat and don't feel like working, because there's not a lot to talk about when it comes to the calendar this week.
Things are sparse, to say the least. They're arid, like a dry desert.
Yes.
We don't have much. In fact, because we normally would have recorded last week, we're going to mention a few things from last week, because over the next 2 weeks, there ain't much coming up in the calendar, folks. So it's going to be a very short episode for you this week. But we are going to start, as we always do, with a refreshing little excerpt that we like to call the Beverage Update. And in doing that, I know, Greg, that in the summer, sometimes our beverages shift to fancy and new flights of fancy. So I'm wondering, for the past few weeks or the past few episodes, you've kind of been on a cider kick. Are you still on a cider kick?
Yeah, and I've still been drinking the cider, but I was digging around in my fridge the other day, and I came across this Mill Street beer that I had forgotten that I had bought, and it's... I'm just going to reach out, and because I'm not drinking it, where it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon, but so I haven't started drinking yet. But it's it comes in a 750 milliliter bottle, and it's called Rodeo Monk, and it's from the folks at Mill Street Brewery. It's a 7% alcohol, and it comes in this one of those bottles that has a pop top on it,
yeah,
with the spring loaded thing that's been wax sealed. And so there, it's a white IPA. I'm not going to read the whole introduction because I think it's better when you do your descriptions. I can't hold a candle to your descriptions. But I will say that this is it's like a wheat beer, and it actually tastes a lot like not a shandy, but a radler. It actually tastes like the grapefruit juice has already been squeezed into the beer. Like it has that kind of a citrusy aftertaste to it. So right. Even though I think it's being advertised as more of a winter beer, it's quite refreshing. It was quite refreshing when I had it with a barbecued chicken last night. So that's what I was drinking last night. And when it comes to later on tonight, I'm probably going to, I don't know, maybe there's I got one or two Polish beers that are in the fridge that I might have one of.
Ah, there you go.
At least.
Memories of Lech.
Yeah, and it's funny actually that I brought that up and that you mentioned Lech, because I just was reading on Twitter or Facebook like in the last several days that he's not doing very well. His health is not good.
Is he still around?
I think so. I'm going to Google it. You go ahead. Tell me what yours is, and I'm going to look up Lech and see.
So my beverage this week is you know, I'm still with the bourbon, of course, but I bought when something new comes out at the LCBO here in Ontario, I mean, I buy it to buy it. And in this case, I knew it was coming. It's the Jim Beam Double Oak.
Okay.
And so what they do is they take it out of the one cask and then they put it into a second cask to get the high oakiness. Now, because this is really just Jim Beam White Label, which is like the lowest of the Jim Beam, double oaking it ain't going to make it brilliant. You're not aging it for necessarily much longer, because once you take it out of that first barrel, the aging stops. You can't take it out of a barrel, put it in a new barrel, and say, hey, we're starting the aging again. No, that doesn't happen.
Oh, then why bother changing barrels?
Well, because it does change the taste.
Oh.
So it gives it that extra oaky flavor, because it absorbs the oak in the second barrel. But mostly it's the smell of it. It's the nose of it that really changes, because you open it up and you smell it and you can almost smell barrel, which smelling oak, it's not a bad thing. It's a unique thing with bourbon, but you take a whiff and you smell that oaky barrel. So, however, there is even though it might not be the highest on the scores list, there is a review here, and so I'll do my best to channel the still living Sam Elliott to see what he has to say about this. Oak, caramel, vanilla, toasted corn, toffee, and dark fruit with some light bits of butterscotch, cinnamon, and leather trailing on through. The aroma is definitely the very best part of this whiskey. The palate is a bit muted compared to the aroma, but it's still wonderfully drinkable. Long strings of caramel, oak, spice, and leather and frosting slip on by. This Jim Beam Double Oak has a decent sense of balance, medium body, and a slick, round feel.
Can you mix bourbon with things?
Oh, yeah. And that's what I would probably do with this one.
Okay.
So anything by Jim Beam that's lower than a Baker's or a Basil Hayden's kind of thing, I would probably tend to mix.
All right. So, what would you mix it with?
Well, either mix, or you could either use it as a mix, or it wouldn't be bad if you dropped some ice into it to water it down. Like with a good bourbon, I like to drink it as neat as possible. Maybe put a couple drops of water in. But everyone has their own favorites at doing stuff. You can mix bourbon with lemonade if you want to. It really doesn't matter.
Oh, okay. All right. So I have an ice question for you. Do you do special ice? Is it bespoke ice? Is it just the bag of ice from the grocery store?
Bespoke, handcrafted, artisanal ice.
Yeah. Do you go for the round cube?
If I'm adding ice to a good bourbon, I will get us the smallest cube possible.
Okay.
And drop a single cube in. I really just want a splash.
Okay.
In there. If I just want to open it up, which is what the reason that you put a little bit of ice in or a couple drops of water in, literally just a couple drops of water to open it up, and that's it.
Hmm.
Yeah.
All right.
And if it's pretty harsh, well, then if you want to put a big ice cube in and let it melt down, well, that's fine. It doesn't really matter at that point.
Lech Walesa is still with us. He is in hospital with heart trouble. That was reported 3 days ago.
Oh, there you go.
So there you go.
Send our best to Lech, indeed.
Yeah. Get well soon, Lech.
Indeed. That takes us on to the calendar.
Do-do-do-do.
Ooh, a short calendar. There you go.
Because there's not much, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Get that?
Yeah, the ticker tape was short this week. So we're jumping back to last week, just to let you know, and this stuff is already in the past, but maybe you can go back onto their websites and watch some of these shows if you want to, if you didn't know they were coming. So we had the return of Degrassi Next Class on the Family Channel last Monday. I'm guessing that if you go onto the Family Channel website, you can probably watch that episode, or somewhere you can probably watch that episode.
Yeah, and actually for these 2 weeks, last week and this week, they're broadcasting all of the episodes. This is the new way of broadcasting. So last week, this week on Family Channel and familychannel.ca, and then if you live outside of this country, the episodes are all dropping on Netflix one after another.
Last Tuesday was the return of Amazing Race Canada, and if you're into this show, you would have known this already, because it is enough of a ratings bonanza, and not bonanza because it doesn't have Lauren Green.
No,
that would be actually a great show, you know.
That would be a great show.
The Amazing Race Bonanza edition.
Well, and funnily enough, this week's episode, they're in Fort McMurray, so they're in cattle country.
Ooh,
are there cattle in around Fort McMurray?
Let's just say yes.
Okay.
The only people who aren't going to know, really, are Fort McMurrayans, if that's what they're called.
I think that's what they're called. Yeah, so Amazing Race Canada is spotlighting Fort McMurray this week. Still Standing did it a couple of weeks ago. So because of everything that happened in Fort McMurray just over a year ago, and Jesus, happening right now in BC, that has put that community on the map for the reality stuff.
Indeed. Last Wednesday was the debut on HGTV of Reno Set Go, or if I'm reading it incorrectly, it could possibly be Reno Set Go, the story of Mike Reno from Loverboy.
There was that show on Comedy Central called, I thought it was Reno 911 and it was Reno 911. Yes. Yeah, so this is the same thing. Yeah, this is, in fact, because it's on HGTV Canada, it is actually Reno Set Go. And this is by the Property Brothers guys.
Wait. Can I sum this up?
Sure.
This is by the folks who do another show that's almost exactly like it.
No, it's not.
The only reason I'm bringing
up the Property Brothers is because they're the executive producers on this show. So it's Jonathan and Drew Scott are the Property Brothers. And they're the executive producers on this program, and it's people that have been deemed worthy to have a room in their house renovated in 36 hours or under. So in the first episode, this guy is a chef here in Toronto, and so he puts in long hours, and when he comes home at night, he just wants to relax, but his brother-in-law has been living in his house for 4 months. So the brother-in-law emails the producers and said, hey, I want to give my brother-in-law, who's a chef in the city of Toronto, this gift of an oasis, have his bedroom renovated. It's like, well, how about you get a job? Like, that would be the best thing, is if you got a job and moved out, and then he could have his house back and you wouldn't be eating all of his baloney. But
I want to do something that won't cost me anything and allows me to still mooch off my brother.
Yeah, so buddy's living in his brother-in-law's basement. So anyway, that's what happened in the first episode. In under 36 hours, they took, I think it was Murray, Chef Murray's bedroom, and turned it into an oasis.
Now, if it was about Mike Reno, I would probably watch it.
I just saw an ad that had Loverboy in it.
Yeah.
And I think it was a car ad.
Yeah, they're in a couple of ads lately, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
And except, there will be a spinoff of this next year called Reno Deck Go.
All right.
You know it's coming, right?
Sure.
Because every Reno show has to eventually spin off to a deck show.
Goes outside.
Yes. And last Thursday, speaking of chefs, we had the debut on Gusto of The Latin Kitchen, or La Cucina Latina.
Ooh, very nice.
I probably got the masculine-feminine wrong on that, but I mean, I
do that all the time.
I know.
I'm horrible with my French. Yes, the Latin
Kitchen. That wasn't French, actually, but that's
okay. No, I know. Sorry.
If you thought it was French, then I really screwed up.
No. The Latin Kitchen, three Latin fellows. Boy, I'm just...
Well, Latin, is it Italians? Or is it like Latin as in the Romance languages? Like
the Romance languages.
Like France, Italy, Spain kind of thing?
Yes, yes. And they're all making food for us.
Okay. So there you go. So that was last week. And the only thing that we have really, which debuted this week or isn't on the calendar, was Monday the 10th, Funny How, which debuts on Viceland. Now, the nice thing about Viceland, if you're a cable subscriber, and you could probably almost watch anything that Viceland has to offer via live streaming.
Yeah, and if you're a Rogers subscriber, it's still in a free preview on Channel 15 in your cable lineup, because that's where I've been watching everything. I watch... tons of stuff on there. I find that that's quickly becoming kind of my go-to channel to watch things.
Because Rogers put like a crap ton of money into Viceland. So.
Right, right. Yeah, so Funny How, it's, and that debuted on Monday, like you said, and it's running all week long at 11:30 p.m. Eastern on Viceland, and it's kind of behind the scenes on stand-up comedy. It's hosted by Canadian Cliff Nesteroff, and he wrote a book called The Comedian's Yep. Drunks... Oh, have you read this book?
I haven't read it, but I know who Cliff Nesteroff is, and actually Okay. he appears on the Marin podcast pretty regularly. But he writes for the new Rolling Stone maybe, or like he writes for one of the bigger pop culture mags in the States, and he's written several books on different topics. So
okay, so yeah, so he would know stand up. He started out as a stand up comedian here in Toronto, and then he went to LA, and he's written, like you said, he's written a ton, yeah. And he's got all these behind the scenes connections. So you know, he sits down with folks like Dave Attell, Mike Birbiglia, Artie Lang, and Chris Robinson to just talk about the behind the scenes of the stand up, yeah. And everything. Like the first episode was all about bombing. Like what does it mean to bomb in front of an audience, and do you only bomb when you're a new comic, or can you bomb when you're a veteran comic, and how does bombing on stage shape you as a stand-up comedian when you're figuring out what works and what doesn't work?
Right. I think that there's more bombing with veteran comedians now, because from everything I hear, the expectation to turn over your material is so much more frequent now than it used to be.
Yeah, because everything gets burned on YouTube, right? Everybody's posting their stuff on YouTube. So
I mean, you used to have stand-ups that used to be able to carry the same material for 5 to 10 years.
Yeah.
And you know, if they didn't come back to the same city in that time, you know, you could just run through the same material over and over and over and over again. Now, with the expectation to do a special every year or two on whatever streaming service, plus, you know, Netflix and YouTube and all that stuff, it's hard. And a lot of them are writing new material all the time, which means they're going out and testing that new material all the time.
Right.
So they almost have to make a second home of their local club, and that's, they still bomb. From what I hear, like, they'll go out and test a lot of new material over, you know, they'll do a 20 or 25 minute set, test a bunch of stuff. I know when Mark Maron was talking about when he was developing a new hour a couple of years ago, he would do a $5 show out at a local theater and just say, come here expecting that you're going to see me doing new stuff, but it's only $5.
Wow.
Like, I'm just, I just want to charge enough to pay for the rental of the place, basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was it. So. Have so it looks seen, like it could be cool.
Have you seen Glow, speaking of Marc Maron?
I have not seen it yet, but I've heard it's fantastic.
It's very good. He's great in it.
Yeah, so I've heard it's really good. So that's all we have for the calendar. So literally within these 2 weeks that we have upcoming, we have nothing. We have absolutely nothing. However, coming up later in the month, we do have an important date. We'll leave the calendar first. There we go.
Yeah.
So we do have near the end of the month, and we'll talk about it when we talk about the calendar next episode, 19-2, which makes its return to CTV. Now, we say it's returned to CTV because it's mostly, most of the new episodes always debut on Bravo.
Yeah, First Window has always been Bravo up until this point, and then they've been a re-air on CTV and Crave TV. And I've been waiting on this date for months and months, and actually these guys, CTV, is way behind on making this announcement, and I guess it was because they were figuring out where they were going to put it in their CTV lineup, because up until this point it's been on Bravo, and it's usually started in June on Bravo. Right. So after three seasons, the final eight episodes of 19-2 are going to be on CTV in a special final season broadcast event, Anthony, because now anything less than 10 episodes is a broadcast event.
Sure, of course it is.
Mondays at 10 Eastern and Pacific, and it's all about the cops and criminals in Montreal. It's won several awards, writing awards, drama awards, acting awards, and if you have missed the seasons 1 through 3, shame on you, but go and check them out on Crave TV, because you can get your first month free on Crave TV, and then you can cancel your subscription, and nobody is any the wiser.
And if you're about to, so when, what was the big school shooting episode? That was like 2 years ago.
Yeah, that was season 2, first episode.
Season 2, first episode. So if you're about to watch that, then go back and listen to the podcast we did with Bruce Smith.
Yes.
You know, back in February of 2015, you can find it on the TVA website. And if you're, that's a nice thing. Some of our podcast episodes become evergreen because of streaming.
They really do. And actually, what I'll do is in the podcast notes, I'll put a link to that interview with Bruce Smith, because you asked him some great questions, and he gave some great answers and background into how the show came to be in English-speaking Canada. Oh, the other interesting thing is that 19-2 was a Radio Canada series in Quebec for three seasons. So actually, the English-speaking version has outlasted the French version by one season. And you can also brush up on your French, like I clearly need to, by watching the first three seasons of the French version of 19-2, because they are available on Netflix here in Canada.
There you go. Even better. So that's coming up on July the 31st.
Yes.
And you can catch that. If you've been waiting for it, like Greg has, certainly catch on to it. A big announcement which came out just, I guess, earlier today or yesterday, was CBC announcing their hosts and judges for the Great Canadian Baking Show. So basically, CBC has now become a place for us all, which includes the Food Network Canada.
This was a big announcement that CBC spoke about back when they did their upfront announcement. Not only had they bought the rights to have the Great Canadian Baking Show in this country, but they also purchased the rights to air the British Baking Show, which has become a massive hit over in the UK. So CBC is definitely hoping that they get the type of attention that the British version got. So they've announced that Dan Levy from Schitt's Creek is one of the hosts. And the second host is
Julia Chan.
Yeah, Julia Chan, who I had to look up. She's been in Saving Hope, but she hasn't been in a heck of a lot of other things. So they're going to be the two judges. And I'm reading
they're the hosts, aren't they?
Yes, the hosts. Yes, excuse me. I apologize. I'm looking ahead because I keep rereading this press release because I keep looking for a third judge. And I'm only reading Bruno Feldeisen, who's former executive pastry chef for the Four Seasons in New York and Vancouver, and he's a James Beard Award nominee multiple times, and Rochelle Adonis, Quebec-raised, European-trained creator of a flagship tea shop and confectionery brand in Australia.
Now, it could be that they bring in, like, a different guest judge every year, too.
Yeah, it's just really weird to only have two judges that are kind of your resident judges.
Right.
But Proper Television are the executive producers on this. They're the same folks that do MasterChef Canada. So they know their culinary stuff. They're going to be filming in Toronto this week. And it's going to premiere on Wednesday, November the 1st at 8 p.m. on CBC.
Okay. Well, and a short season, only 8 episodes, but an hour long each.
Yeah, an hour long each. And yeah, that's the British model is the short run. And CBC has definitely kind of picked up on that and are just going for the short run. So, if you're a baker, I've actually seen the British version. And I think it's entertaining. I like the challenges that they put them through. And as anybody that watches Top Chef or MasterChef Canada, the most difficult weeks are when they have the chefs baking, when they're doing pastries and things like that, because it's definitely a lot harder to do than to, say, sear a steak or put together a salad. I mean, there's science behind this. So you need to know your stuff to be baking. So,
okay,
check it out.
Yeah, check it out.
Check it out.
November the 1st. All Saints Day. Just dragging some religious allegory into it. I don't know what they're going to make.
That week will be Saints and Sinners.
So, Kristen Kruk, who, I first, saw on this, even though she was in television before that, I remember first being on in Smallville. Then she moved on to Beauty and the Beast for a few seasons, which happened a couple seasons ago. We talked about, I think it was a couple of months ago, about the new legal drama that she was putting out called Burden of Truth, which is on CBC. Apparently, there's some behind the scenes wrangling that's going on, and it's not looking all rosy.
No, and I have to credit, I can't remember the, I got an email from a reader of the website, and they said, hey, what's this that I hear about the showrunners no longer attached to Burden of Truth? So I shot an email off to CBC and they got back to me, and not only is Burden of Proof no longer the name of the show, it's been changed to Burden of Truth, but yes, the showrunners Noel Carbone and Adriana Maggs have both departed the project. CBC confirmed that. They said that Noel and Adriana, this is a quote from E1, who are one of the production companies, they said that they're both key to shaping the first season of Burden of Truth, but at this time they have left to pursue other projects. So it's really nothing new in the early stages of a new series to have a cast shakeup and recasting, but it's not often that showrunners will leave a show. So, people are talking about whether, what's been going on behind the scenes, and I'm assuming it's probably creative direction. Sure. The show was actually created by Brad Simpson, who worked on Rookie Blue and King. So it may be that he and the showrunners, Noel and Adriana, didn't all kind of see eye to eye, and that they decided that maybe it would just be best if they left. There are still a lot of executive producers behind the scenes. We've got Ilana Frank, Jocelyn Hamilton, and Linda Pope, who have all worked on Saving Hope and Rookie Blue together, and Mary Kills People. So there's lots of people behind the scenes that could run this. There hasn't been an announcement about any official showrunners to replace them, but like I said, there's lots of people still behind the scenes that can do this. The crazy thing about it is that they're actually heading into production. If they're not already in production now, they're heading into production fast. It's kind of sad. Like, I don't know what this means for the show, whether this means that it'll be a very different program from what it was going to be, and, it'll be interesting to see what it could have been if those other two hadn't been involved, or, hadn't left the show.
That's true. Uniquely, shooting in Manitoba. You don't hear about many shows shooting in Manitoba.
No, and that was, they wanted the small town look, so they're going to be shooting in and around Winnipeg. Of course, the tax break out there helped out, but I think part of the other reason is that just here in Ontario, there really aren't very many places to film. I mean, I was in Hamilton a couple of weeks ago for Caught. We were in there just for 2 days shooting that Alan Hocko television event that'll be coming up in the winter. But yeah, Southern Ontario is jam-packed with stuff being filmed, so I think that's part of the reason why as well.
I have to wonder if they changed the name of the show. There had to have been a show in the past called Burden of Proof.
Yeah, I think there was an American legal drama that had that exact same name.
Like, how do you not have that title already already come and gone? Exactly. Yeah. So even though Burden of Truth is not as good a name, but I'm just saying.
No, I know. I feel the same way. I was like, oh, I liked Burden of Proof.
Yeah. Anyway, our last story this week is we mentioned, I don't know if it was the last episode or the episode before, but the fact that J.P. Blais is on his way out from the CRTC. And they basically invited one of the interim commissioners to step up as interim chair or something like that.
Mm-hmm, yes, that's right.
Yeah, and so basically what's happening, so there's no vice, so there was the vice chair of broadcasting. Apparently that was a guy by the name of Tom Pentefontis. And I believe we've talked about him before as well.
I think so, yes.
And there's a vice chair of telecommunications, Peter Menzies from Alberta. They both resigned, and the vice chair of broadcasting has been absent for 20 months.
Mm.
The vice chair of telecommunications just resigned before completing his term. Two commissioner positions have been left unfilled because someone from Saskatchewan and from Ontario have both left. So the CRTC, not only is it without a leader, so to speak, with regards to having, you know, someone running the thing, it seems like a lot of the infrastructure is gone as well.
Yeah, you're right, and it's Judith A. LaRocque, she's the acting chair of the CRTC, and she had served as acting vice chair of the CRTC back from November 2016 to May of this year. So they're just keeping her on board while they try and figure things out. And in the meantime, Michael Moran, who is a former CRTC commissioner, he's written a piece for the HuffingtonPost.ca, and the title of his blog is "Leaderless CRTC is Adrift and Without a Mission."
Hmm. And I'm noticing that there's even there's quotes in the article from Tim Southam, who we've had on the podcast before, who's the the president of the Directors Guild of Canada, talking about the fact that there's a whole bunch of appeals and decisions that need to be made by the CRTC right now, and who's going to make them?
Yeah.
Like, that's really what's kind of left is, you know, there's a couple of subtitles across this article, but one of them is called Has the Sheriff Left Town?
Yes.
Because who's going to be making these decisions? And it's, as much as we complain about the CRTC, I believe it's a necessary organization, and you would like to think that it's running efficiently, if not effectively, but to see something like this just sounds like it's not really running at all.
No, and, you know, he says, more than ever, the CRTC urgently needs a chair with broad industry experience, with two new vice chairs, after Conrad Van Finkelstein and J.P. Blais, both federal civil servants who did not particularly distinguish themselves by their understanding of the broadcasting industry. The CRTC does not need yet another Ottawa bureaucrat. The CRTC is an instrument. The CRTC is not an instrument. We are not Hollywood, and we will never be. But if the CRTC's mandate still has any meaning in this country, our producers, our artists, and our journalistic enterprises deserve its deliberate and distinct support.
So here's the thing. I mean, this is a bit of an opinion piece as well.
It's certainly a
column in many ways. I mean, so Michael Moran, who's the guy who wrote it, as well as being a former CRTC commissioner, was a journalist from Radio Canada.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where his experience comes from. So to talk about industry, I get that as well, but the entire point of the CRTC, as far as I've understood it, is oversight as well. Mm-hmm. So in as much as you want to have people who are aware of what goes on in the industry, they also have to be representative of what the public wants of that industry.
Right.
Like, so there is a fine balance to, and I understand that you don't necessarily want a bureaucrat who has no knowledge of what the industry is all about, but you certainly don't want somebody who's in there who's just a toady to the industry.
Oh, no, not at all. But, you know, with J.P. Blais, it was, you know, the exact opposite. I mean, all he wanted to do was cut, and, you know, the industry was fighting back against that. And Moran talks about the fact that, you know, under Blais' leadership, the CRTC has never been attacked more by the industry than when he was running the show because of all of the things that he said and the things that he did and the personal, you know, the way that he viewed things as personal attacks on himself and, you know, kind of turned it into his own personal vendetta. Even as he was leaving the post, he had some parting words against the writers and the creators and the television and film industry in this country. So, yeah, we need somebody in there that understands and can, you know, kind of have a cool head and meet with people and decide what works and what doesn't. I mean, you can't go in there and get, you know, pissed off and just because your feelings might get hurt.
It would be nice to have somebody who had at least a little bit of, you know, who you wouldn't mind walking up to as a member of the public to actually talk to them.
Yeah, no.
As opposed to a bureaucrat.
Yeah. No, they need to understand the role and you know, figure out, you know, you got the people that love the Canadian content and they want to support Canadian television and film. And then you've got the people that just say scrap everything because everything in Canada and the Canadian entertainment industry sucks and there hasn't been anything on the air since Corner Gas. You need to find somebody in the middle there.
Right. Okay. Well, there
it's
you
hard
go.
Though, Anthony. How do we fix the problem? How would you fix the problem?
How much does it pay?
They are looking for the CRTC. Yeah, Ellen, Melanie Jolie sent out the word on Twitter, man. She's looking for people.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, how much does it pay? I think, you know, I think I should be the chair, to be honest with
government,
you.
It's a government gig. There's probably pretty good benefits.
Yeah. If it's a volunteer gig, I already do a lot of volunteering. I'm just saying.
You need something to pay the bills. No more volunteer.
If it's a pay gig, I think that someone should put my name in for it. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, I've been making a lot of fun of Justin Trudeau's socks lately, so maybe I'm not in the running, but...
Yeah.
There you go, folks. That covers our news and our very abbreviated calendar for the week. It's one of those Midsummer Nights episodes.
And I've been trying to nail down some people for the TVABC's podcast, and it seems as though if people aren't in production on something and busy, they're off on vacation.
Yeah. It's tough to find. So, but we kind of did, warn people that, it was going to be probably, less than regular throughout the summer, put it that way.
Yeah. And you bring up a good point. I'll be reposting, some of the evergreen podcast material because we've got interviews from the folks involved in, you know, Dark Matter and Killjoys and Winona Earp. Those are all shows that are on the air right now. And, I can be reposting those podcasts. So look for those too.
There you go. So
this is the perfect time to go to click on that podcast link at tva.com and listen to podcasts. Although, if you're listening to the podcast, you're probably already up to date because you're a supporter of the podcast, either through the website or through Patreon.
Or, and here's the thing, and we talked about this earlier, if you're using this summer to do some marathoning of Canadian shows that have been out for a few years, come to the TVA website. Do a search on the website and see if we've interviewed any of the actors or behind the scenes people. And as you get to those points in the in your marathons, you can listen along and maybe catch some interesting notes before you start watching that season.
Good point. Very good point. And there's a good chance that we have spoken to at least somebody involved in one of your favorite shows.
Exactly. Greg, where can people find you when you're not here talking about Canadian television every couple of weeks?
You can find me running the show over at the TVA website. That's tv-eh.com. You can follow me on Twitter at tv_eh or my own Twitter account, which is at greg_David. What about you, Anthony?
You can find most of the podcasts that I do at anthonymarco.com and find me on Twitter at anthonymarco. And if you'd like to support this podcast, you can go to our Patreon page, patreon.com/tv_eh, and feel free to support us there to the tune of whatever you can afford. Or if you can't afford any money and you just want to recommend this podcast to a friend, you could certainly do that as well. We appreciate anything that you could do to help promote the good word and goodwill that we put out there every couple of weeks with regards to Canadian television. Ah, there you go, Greg. We got a summer edition in the books, so to speak.
We do, yes.
So that wraps up another episode for this week. And now back to your regularly scheduled programming.